I know that music. It must be time for Arts News, and who better to bring us a roundup of what's happening in the art world than producer Alice Walker, filling in for Claire Nichols today. Alice, hello.
Hi, Eddie. So tell me, what did you want to do when you were in your 20s?
Alice, all I wanted to do was to play my viola. Seriously.
Of course. And you went to Hong Kong to do that, didn't you?
I did.
Because for a lot of people in their 20s, the big dream is to travel and maybe even study overseas. And if you're a young artist, Paris is probably a pretty popular choice. And that's what the Brett Whiteley Travelling Art Scholarship is all about. It was set up by Whiteley's mother, Beryl, to give Australian artists between the age of 20 and 30 the same opportunity her son had. He won a scholarship to Europe back in 1959 at the age of just 20, and it had a huge impact on him. And this year's winner has just been announced.
Who is it? Who is it?
It is. This year the prize went to 24-year-old Sydney artist Natasha Walsh. So she's the 20th winner of the scholarship, and she beat over 150 other applicants. So she's off for a three-month residency at the Cité Internationale des Arts in Paris with an extra $40,000 in her pocket. And she was chosen by this year's judge, Ben Quilty, who won the scholarship himself in 2002.
Okay, so what did she paint?
So she produced a series of poised, kind of intense self-portraits painted on copper, and she told 7:30 that her works explore ideas of mortality and vulnerability to time, so very different to a selfie.
They're not selfies, they really aren't. They take hours and hours and hours, and it's not about like the ego, it's not about presenting like an image that you want people to see that's positive or that's like, you know, it's not about beauty or anything like that. The nature of the self-portrait, even though it exists and has existed for hundreds of years, it's really relevant today because everyone's almost really, really obviously engaged in a dialogue of creating their own self-portraits.
Natasha Walsh there, winner of the Brett Whiteley Travelling Art Scholarship, and she's already been making waves for her self-portraits. She's been a finalist of the Archibald Prize three times, including this year, and just a month ago, she won the $50,000 Kilgore Prize at the Newcastle Art Gallery, so she's having a great year. You can see some of her work and selected works by all the finalists at the Brett Whiteley Studio in Sydney until October 7.
Well, I hope she hears some good viola music when she's in Paris as well. Now, there's some news of major artworks that are going to be making their way to Australia later in the year. What's coming?
Yes. So some of the Tate Britain's most popular works are coming our way. Actually, Eddie, people are known to go straight up to museum staff and ask, where's Ophelia?
Oh, really?
And what they're looking for is the haunting mid-19th century oil painting by John Everett Millais, inspired by Ophelia's drowning in Shakespeare's Hamlet. So his model, the artist Elizabeth Siddall, had to pose for months in a wedding dress in a bath heated by lamps.
That sounds so dangerous.
Ophelia's, yeah, and cold. So Ophelia is coming to Canberra as part of the NGA's exhibition Love and Desire, Pre-Raphaelite Masterpieces from the Tate.
Okay, so who were the Pre-Raphaelites?
So they were Britain's first modern art movement. The Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood was formed 170 years ago in London, basically as a protest against idealised subjects inspired by Raphael. Instead, the Pre-Raphaelites wanted to paint with maximum realism, inspired by nature, romantic themes from literature, but also modern social problems. So there are 43 works from the Tate coming to Canberra all up and 40 from other British and Australian collections. But the other really big one coming from the Tate is John William Waterhouse's Lady of Shalott, painted in 1888 and inspired by Alfred Tennyson's poem. So it's the first time the Lady of Shalott and Ophelia will ever be shown in Australia. And it's also the first time the two paintings have been lent out from the Tate at the same time because they're both so popular. So that exhibition is on show at the NGA from December to April, and it's exclusive to Canberra.
All right, so booking those tickets to Canberra is a good idea right now. No, the Tate is in the news this week for other reasons as well, right?
Yes, so the museum has come under fire for using Wikipedia entries for its artist biographies. And the art newspaper says it's found a bunch of mistakes, perhaps no surprises there. So there's a bit of an I told you so moment if anyone's ever said, you know, don't rely on Wikipedia for research. So a Tate spokesperson told the paper the gallery doesn't have the resources to write biographies for every single artist in its collection or to update living artist biographies, but they do have information for around 100 artists written by historians on their website. The spokesperson said the museum is working on a partnership with Wikipedia to ensure the biographies for artists in the collection are as accurate as possible.
Now, I heard an artist say once, Alice, that there was some mistakes in her Wikipedia entries, and she had written it herself, so who knows about Wikipedia? And now, there's some money being handed out back here at home.
Yeah, so the Australia Council for the Arts has just announced its latest grants round on Tuesday, a total of $6.3 million for over 200 projects. And this time around, most of the funding went to female artists, 64% overall, and a huge 73% in the field of music. So the Australia Council has welcomed these figures as a report they published late last year found that female artists earn 25% less than male artists, and that's an even bigger gender pay gap than the average 16%. So the next round of funding is already open. It closes on October 2nd, so if you're an artist and you're keen, you better get in quick.
Alice, thank you very much. Alice Walker with Arts News, filling in for Claire Nichols.